This is a production of Cornell University.
First 30 minutes. We're going to call this meeting to order. John, the roll call. I don't have my Roger.
Here.
Excuse. Oh, there he is.
Perfect.
Present.
Here.
Excuse. Late. Amazing. Awesome. Thank you. The time is 4:48. We have 25 members. First of all, welcome back, everyone. Hope you all had a great fall break. We're going to get started with announcements. So the first thing I'm really excited about is we have a food pantry opening on campus. It's opening at one of the houses that my dorm actually controls. So it's 109 McGraw. If you go down to West Campus, it's right across the street from the cookhouse. The hours have been posted on our social media. It's a really awesome initiative that's been started by Pat Wynn, one of our vice presidents of SCL. So I'd encourage you to check it out. Spread the social media graphic to any interested parties and stakeholders on campus. Next, we have an announcement about Big Red Fawn funding.
Hi, so last week, so I don't have a report. I will write that for the next meeting. We don't have to vote on
Just
it.
Just have to write a report.
Oh, I don't, okay. So anyway, last week I misspoke. There were some administrative miscommunications. Big Red Fawn will be receiving $1,300 for their weekend cleanup fee, overtime fee. I previously stated a number that was like in the 2,000 range. That was wrong. So yeah, they'll be receiving $1,300 if Zach voted on that before the Tuesday before fall break.
Awesome. Thank you, Mariah. Any questions? Cool. Big Red Fawn is a really awesome organization. I encourage you guys to check their work out. They're recently featured on the SCL Instagram, so check that out. Okay. Next, open microphone. If anyone from the community wishes to speak, please come up to the table at the center. Cool. We're closing open microphone. Okay. Approval of the minutes. SA members, please take a look at your agendas. Check out the minutes. Take a minute for this.
Sorry. Speak into the microphone.
I think we're going to leave that until Joe gets here, so we don't have any. Thank you. He is coming. He'll be here in like 20 minutes. Awesome.
I think Joe hasn't figured out the reporting system for iClickers.
So I don't think Joe has figured out the reporting system for the iClickers yet. Osai, do you have any information about that?
I do not.
obviously.
Perfect. Just as a clarification, for things like approving the minutes or approving byline funding and stuff like that, we never actually write down by name who voted how, and so that's not going to reflect in the minutes unless you change the standing rules, I believe. So unless you want to know how like people specifically voted last week, that's not something we traditionally do. Yeah. Thank you, Debbie.
I don't think she meant to put it in the minutes.
Sure.
Yeah, we didn't talk about
that. Okay. Let's talk about this when we figured it out. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. We have a speakers list, just reminding y'all. Does anybody have questions about the minutes? Motion to approve. Is there a second? Awesome. Please raise your placards if you approve the minutes. Can I vote? No, I can't vote. All right,
23
to 0 to
1.
Is that right?
No, someone either didn't vote or
I can't. I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4.
I think everyone.
Okay, 24 to 0 to 1. These minutes pass. Yes. Alrighty. Okay. Next, we're going to move into confirmations for the Office of the Student Advocate, which is, as you guys should remember, established in previous meetings. If you turn to your agenda, we have the names, and we also have those present who have been nominated by Liel. So if you guys would like to come up to the table, Sure, no worries. If you guys just want to introduce yourself really briefly, say your name, position, and maybe year and major. We also have Natalia Hernandez for the Director of Student and Campus Life, and Sydney Wait for Chief of Staff. I think Sydney might be coming in a bit, but if not, we can go ahead. This is just a formality for confirming you guys. If you guys have any questions for them, we can go ahead. Speakers list. If we have no questions, we can just go ahead with the confirmation.
Motion to vote.
Is there a second? Awesome. Okay, please raise your placards if you confirm these members. Awesome. Okay, 24 to 0 to 1, you guys have been confirmed as staff members for the Office of Student Advocate. Congrats. Thank you. Next, we have a presentation from our VP D&I, Colleen Senator. You want to head up there? Laptop with HDMI port. Anybody have a Windows laptop?
Pro.
Okay, Kiribel? Yes, thank you. Kiribel. Also, this is a good time to remind SA members that if you want to present something at a meeting, you are welcome to do so. If you want to present at any week, literally just email me. So you can do a presentation about an initiative you're working on, the progress you're making. It doesn't always have to be like a hard resolution presented at the table. If you just want to update us, get feedback, this is always the time to do it.
We love and love you more.
Good job. Ms. Prince.
At the next sprint, remind
me to show up so I can do my presentation.
Rules.
Yeah. I'm going to fail that quiz. I know it. Honestly, I barely passed the quiz my year. I'm going to have to go to the office and find the quiz, find the key.
Amazing.
It might not be accurate anymore. I think we have 29 or 28 violent organizations instead of 27 or 26 at Freedom Simmons.
I've literally never read Robert's book.
That is good. I mean, it's like a book this thing.
Yeah.
Because it's meant for the United States
Congress. Not for students.
Not for student government.
Right.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
want to. It's a pen. I have no idea. I found it in my room this morning.
I love it.
Misabi?
Oh, this sounds foreign.
I think it's actually car business or construction. Because it sounds like something like
Can you guys see this okay?
I mean, not really, but I'm blind.
Could it move a little bit closer?
Can you move it closer? Is that possible?
Do you need help?
Can somebody help Colin, perhaps?
That would be kind. John.
Thank you, John.
Okay,
so they need a little bit of
Don't need tea.
Right, that's how it works.
I'm sick. I had a pizza last night. Food isn't really speaking to me anymore.
Me too. I don't know what it is.
I'm just like overeating. I don't need to. I want like the flavor of things in my mouth. The actual consumption of food isn't a feeling right now.
Wait, I feel that. It's like it's been a weird thing. All right, looks like we have our presentation ready. So for Colin's presentation, I'm going to request that SA members throw away their laptops and phones, as we usually do in meetings, and pay your utmost respect to Colin. Thank you.
Topic. I'm also not qualified for any health crisis. Other than information, following slides, so I'm writing about it. What do you mean, because it's access?
Okay. These are some of the statistics that are from the United States itself. As far as the federal rates of murder that is within base, it's basically 10 times the average in New Zealand or Ohio, like any other racial group in the United States or Canada. And murder is the third leading cause of death. And the majority of these murders are committed by non-native perpetrators on indigenous territories, such as reservation lands, by non-natives, and to increasing climate benefits. As far as domestic sexual violence, only 1 in 2 Indigenous individuals experience sexual violence in their lifetime, which is a pretty staggering statistic when you think about it. And it's Thank you.
Thank you.
students mining all the sectors, basically any project that we've been constructing, relies on these networks, which is basically just like these cameras, like these hundreds of like dudes that are gone in the area that come and work like a certain area of time and drink and drugs and a whole bunch of other stuff that leads to like extremely high rates of sexual assaults. So we started in these communities that occupy that area. Pirates and harassment, STIs, and women in the century. All this sort of stuff that results from this pipeline and this resource production that's going on. So it's literally not only raping the land, which starts another interesting conversation because in indigenous communities, there's always the concept of earth being mother. It's they also included recovery surprised that it wasn't saying anything, but apparently it's not. But because of that, the Republican Party is bringing up a whole host of other issues. Or that's like the biggest point that we're basically bouncing off of voting down is it is what they call it. So stay tuned for that. So this basically focuses on the same issue of communication between different law enforcement bodies, between tribal governments and the Department of Justice, the Department of the Interior, the United States law enforcement. So yeah, it's creating an advisory committee that would incorporate direct testimony from family members and victims. Upset himself, this murder, and they would make recommendations on how to respond. So, this is also still under consideration in Congress, and this would be something for reduction of some of the facts to address the communication disparities that exist. I think you're going to see the problem in the basically, what's been happening in the past 30 years is that people are finally talking about this and they're finally paying attention to it, despite whatever racial might exist in academia. This is basically the best it has ever been, believe it or not. And it's still improving. Like, Canada wants to make a part of the system basically saying, this is an act of genocide. That is huge for Canada's sake, because Canada has historically treated indigenous peoples that come back throughout history. But
hit it harder.
Yeah. These are just a couple of examples of current symbols that are also drawing attention to the crisis. On your left, you have the Red Dress Project, which is going to be going on next week. That started in Canada up in Winnipeg. The artist behind that name is Jamie Black. She is a lady in that area, and basically the purpose of the institution is to address themselves to those kinds of artificial space while simultaneously bringing attention to the business members of our communities. So there's that, and there's also the right hand phrase, which is supposed to represent the silence. Supposed to represent the silence of the missing members of our communities, and it's actually taken on social media and stuff as a symbol that is also raising the risk of the
question. Any questions for Colin? So, we should be doing the oath of office, but since Sarah's not here and I don't want to make it awkward for her first essay meeting to be the only one doing the oath of office, we're going to postpone that. So, Tomas and Liam, you'll also be doing the oath with Sarah next meeting. So, plan to be here. Also, I just want to do a quick announcement, and usually I wouldn't do this, responding to a column, but I felt... I don't know how many of you saw it. I mean, I made us think about it on my personal Facebook, but I also want to just, like, in my as professional capacity as president of the Student Assembly, just say that, you know, everyone has a different journey with their mental health, and everyone has the ability to make that decision for themselves. And at Cornell, we're slowly getting our mental health services better. We're slowly trying to create a more diverse set of options for students to find what works for them the best. And I just want to say, like, you do what's best for you at the end of the day, and don't take someone's opinion about whether or not you're seeking help, whether that be from a friend, from a faculty member, from a professional, to any margin. And I can say, like, that stigma was associated with me for 3 years here, and the moment that I did, like, just totally ignore it, my life has been significantly better. So I just want to say that, like, for 3 years here, I was totally being miserable not seeking professional help from anyone, and I thought that I couldn't be doing that because of social pressure and social stigmas associated with it. And columns like that don't do anything to break the stigma here on our campus that we've been trying to break for so long. And I just want to say, you know, if you're ever in support, as a friend, I'm here, but also there is such a litany of resources that are always available. So I wouldn't do that. It's not me being dramatic, it's just me being like, I don't know. But on that note, we'll move to Resolution 9, establishing a representative voting member for the Dyson School on the S.A. Polina. We'll do that after
we'll
the resolution.
Now.
Oh, no, we'll do it after. I don't care.
I don't
want to
cause pain.
That was Christy also. Another fuck up.
Okay. Go ahead, introduce it, give us a little bit about. If you have questions, just raise your hand. We'll put you on the speakers list for this period of time.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. Okay. Oh my gosh, you do it.
Okay.
I'll start with the first question. Because the Dyson School is still part of the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, when you took the numbers that are on line 38 to 42, was there ever a estimation of, because we're taking 700 students away from Cal's, that there would be a need to reapportion seats again amongst the current college distribution? I think my question goes to the core concept of electoral, like, distribution makeup. It's that if we as the student assembly are basing a one representative off of the smallest constituency, does that mean we have to reapportion all of our seats again? And that's because right now, through my time here, the number has always been arbitrary, tied to enrollment, but never updated with enrollment. And so, is this just for the one seat, or does this need to be a discussion amongst the student assembly about all of our college academic side seats? So it's not that I disagree with the intent of the resolution, it's that I offer a larger discussion to the matter, and then, unless you want to respond or... Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Brian. Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that Jacob Youngblood?
Yeah.
Or Jacob Fight?
Youngblood, sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Jacob Fight. For reference, a charter amendment still needs to be approved by the president. So it's not like our bylaws, we own it. The charter, it's a formalized resolution that the president has her 30 days to respond to accept the charter change. Most of the time, they're pretty non-controversial, knock on plastic. But just for reference. Masa.
Okay, so
Gavin.
Have you spoken with the institutes about this proposal? What are their responses?
I have. That's why I'm here today. I have a group of friends in the school that have closely asked me why they can't have a sex representative and how they can get involved in student governance, and that they know that.
Mariah.
Yeah, so I guess I'm wondering, with the 3,100, on line 38 you mentioned the 3,100 Cal students, but because Dyson is part of Cal's, or because the A major is part of Cal's, the 700 that you've been talking about, is that number, like the 3,000 is including the 700 Dyson majors, and if so, what, I don't know if this question was already asked, but kind of like a reapportionment question about Cal's and the membership that they, how many voting members do you foresee them having?
So, I got these numbers off of the University Central, and I include, as I mentioned, that Dyson is included under 3,100 graduate students. And for students, for student assembly, I would currently like students separately from the Cal schools, because we create a separate representative, so they can
Yeah, so I understand that, but I'm saying with those 700 students now being taken out of the Cal's like student body number that we would be using, would you think that we would then go from two voting members in Cal's to one because we're losing 700 seats? I mean, 700 people who would be represented by that seat, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And
Gavin, you're on the second speaker's list. Thank you. Sorry.
Uche.
Did you want to go on the speaker's list?
This is just a general question. So I'm curious how many students
have to get the separate
So how many students constitutes one voting member on Twitter? Because I'm seeing from the College of Anthropology, students, and how you can have 3,100 students if we took out 700,000 and how I don't see how they would have less than they can still keep their 2 college representatives, right?
So I think that when we're talking about the academic side of representatives, or in general, when you talk about when you go into election map making theory, like the political science perspective, it's what number of students creates a representative. And if we go from the lowest number of students that create a representative on the academic side of the student assembly, that number is 503. So in theory, all of our representatives who represent an academic side should be representing about 503 students. With these current numbers, that's not happening. And so that's what I wanted to offer into the arena post this resolution, or in conjunction with this resolution, is are the current numbers on the academic side also in line with an equitable style of representation? Because are we overburdening some representatives, or are we not burdening some representatives enough to do enough work? And I think that's where we get into a tricky situation. But again, this is the academic side.
But for hotel
can you use the mic?
For hosting all the school, there's only 1,870 students. So it's
Yeah, I mean, it's not a perfect science. At the end of the day, even in the House of Reps, everyone is about 500,000, I think, if I can remember, 600,000. Oh, jeez, that's why I got an A- in Congress. But I think there is, I think that's a question to offer, is the range. Kat?
I just want to say thanks for also, this is a really well-written resolution. Like, when she turned it in, I didn't have to fix anything, so shout out to her. I just had a quick logistical question about if the students who are represented by the Dykes School Rep, are they going to be able to vote for the Cal Reps too?
No, I think
they're just Indigo. That microphone, do you want to get on? Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about the redistribution, but really quickly on the topic of Amesters being able to vote for Cal's reps. I think that there are a lot of issues and just regular things that Amesters encounter that are relevant to Cal's, and we should consider a bit more than being able to vote for the Cal's representative. Not Cal students being overall being able to vote for the AIM representative, but AIM students being able to vote for two positions. About the redistribution, yeah, I'm having the same thoughts as a lot of people, and I know that this is a further conversation for us to have, but while I am in support of this, I think we do all need to consider what constitutes a representative, and if having, I guess, how many is this? There's 15,000 undergraduates, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so that would mean 30 college representatives, which would be a really big change. That would mean,
this thing
nine representatives for our cycles. I'm not saying it should be that, but I do think we have to think about, that would be so crazy. If we're taking away 700 from 3,100 and making that 2,400, we're taking away from 2-1, so that it should be 1, but it's still enough to constitute 2 in terms of relative to the other schools.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think that One is too little for 2,400 students, but at the same time, if we're taking away a full seat, it really just is like a flaw in our current system, and it's really just because we haven't updated it in so long. So I think a discussion that we do need to have fairly soon should be about the overall representation and how many representatives we do want for college students. Yeah, I also agree that we shouldn't have one representative for Cal, we should have two, as it currently is, but I would like to know your thoughts on aim students being able to vote for the Cal representative.
Mark, oh, you want to respond?
Yeah.
It's the next speaker, so.
It was like kind of a question that I had.
Oh, yeah, answer the question, yeah, sorry. Sorry. Morgan. Tomas.
So my first thing is addressing the general question of whether like we would have to take Cal's in order to give Dyson one, like take one from Cal's to give Dyson one. I don't think that's the case. You think about it like set it, where it's like regardless of each state, each college or school had the minimum seat, like the minimum should be one. And whether like that's a different, right, but so minimum one for Dyson doesn't necessarily mean we need to take one from Cal's, because 2,400, if you look at like HUMEC, like that has one, and it's the largest number of one, and that's 1,200 to 100 times 2 is 2,400. That being said, regarding Dyson members being able to vote for Cal's issues or Cal's representatives, that's a question of curriculum. Like Cal's standards still apply to Dyson students, so that is a concern that needs to be addressed. I mean, this is an issue in general with people who get concurrent degrees, but especially if you're in the same college, you can get a double major. So that's another concern, that people who are not just Dyson but might be getting a double major, that would be a conversation that needs to be had, whether like they're losing their voice in Cal's issues if that happens. Mm-hmm.
Debbie.
I just want to bring up a larger conversation about like how majors and colleges are structured and organized at Cornell. So you bring up that the Dyson School is, or the A major in Dyson School is technically in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, and that's more to do with how we fund academic programs here rather than like the organizational part of Cornell. For example, the CS community is split between arts and sciences and engineering. So we have a separate seat that just encompasses issues related to CS students? Do they belong in arts and sciences? Like, it's completely unrelated to kind of the issues they face as students. My major, Global and Public Health Sciences, is split between College of Cal's and CUMEC. I think that also extends to biology and society as well, where you can be a B-Soc major in arts and you can be a B-Soc major in Cal. So I understand the conversation about needing representation on the essay, but I think in order for you to tackle having like a Dyson-specific representative, you're going to have conversations about the way other programs and other colleges are kind of split up at Cornell. And so that's my piece.
Yeah, go for it. It's synonymous. It's synonymous, essentially. That's the argument. Anything else? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Dyson also has multiple minors as well. So that's another. Valentina. Oh, jeez.
I just want to mention the fact that I guess there are also other positions that Dyson students can look for. Like, the four other big seats, as well as four freshman classes, are all different Dyson students. So I just wanted to kind of give you all the chance to respond. What's the main motivation, I guess, behind these resolutions? Is it that Dyson students don't feel represented by the students, how it's represented that they will look for? Or you just feel like it's necessary to make a sense of how many people are respected.
Oh, wow. Osai.
I feel like we're talking in circles. Could we maybe table and rediscuss this on next meeting?
There's been a motion to table. Is there a second? There's been a sec. Is there a dissent? There's a dissent. Okay.
Well, I'm saying that we can rediscuss this.
Can you, like, you just have a question? Is that your dissent? Do you withdraw your second? Okay, do you withdraw? Okay. Like, what type of, is it like you want to speak on the speakers list? Thank you. Like a point of information or a question.
For Paulina?
Is it a question for Paulina? Or is it, yeah, okay, then you have to put it back on the speakers list.
She's
on the second speakers list.
Where on the speaker list?
1, 2, 3. She's the fourth.
I'll see my time tomorrow.
Okay.
It's first on the speakers list.
I'll just yield the time to Masa. How about that?
Yeah.
because Gavin was also next and he yielded to her, so that's also
so
fine.
That's fine.
Okay, so looking at line 15 to 15, I'm saying, what do you have
Yeah, internals and externals. Yeah, it's both a combination of external and internal transfers. So, yeah, it's a hot mess.
We love transfers. Yeah.
Okay.
Motion to table.
There's been a motion to table. Is there a second? Is there a dissent? Seeing no dissent, we'll vote on tabling. All in favor of tabling this till next meeting. Raise your hand or placard. Go for it.
Standing up for a roll.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like 23.
Hey. Thank you so much. We're going into executive session, so we're going to take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back to executive session to elect an Appropriations Committee member seat. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.